All right. Thank you for that, Shelly. All right. We are finishing. We're still, although I'm glad that summer is over. Really, I don't know if you've got that, if I've made that kind of clear. I'm glad summer's over. Now, I'll enjoy summer when it comes next year until after youth conference, and then I kind of sour on it, okay? But I'm glad summer's over. But unfortunately, we didn't finish our summer series on Thursday night, and so we're going to go on that. What we're doing, we've been looking at discipleship the first couple weeks of the summer. We looked at a little about what disciple is, what it means to be a disciple, and the steps we need to take and that type of thing, and the commitment that it takes for us to be a disciple. It's more than just being a Christian. It's someone who's a Christian who decides they're going to be committed to Christ. They're going to really grow in their faith and follow Christ and do the things which he says. And then we started a few weeks ago, many weeks ago, just looking through our steps of growth that we go through in our church. Our discipleship book that we go through, that's the outline of it. Now, what I'm teaching is not really in there per se. It's a little more deep. It's a little deeper. And some of the things we are going to look at, we look at some of the doctrinal issues, and some things are just practical. Tonight's a little more of a practical, and helps us so that we can help others. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, if any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And I hope it's our desire, as we look at our lives, to be one who would be a disciple. That it wouldn't just be something we say with our voice, it would be something we show in our lives. And so that's what we're looking at. We've looked at number one, which starts with salvation. That's our first step, has two parts, which is loving God. And that's salvation, of course, and baptism is included in that. Not that it's included in salvation, but it's something that takes place after salvation and should be pretty much right away. Then we looked at number two and finished it up last week. We grow through devotion, and that's our personal life with God and in our time in the Bible and having a personal relationship with him. Last week, we started on number three. Number three is connection to others. We do that through our adult Bible classes, getting people to be a part of an adult Bible class. We kind of gave an introduction to that last week. I think you have some blanks there on your paper. The best place our love for others can be developed and deployed in the church is in the church, and it's particularly in our adult Bible classes. Okay? God wants us to love others. We looked at that last week. And it would be great if Christianity was just simply our love for God. Because God is perfect, okay? God never lets us down, and all of it's good. People, on the other hand, are not like God. And people can be irritating. Say, how do you know? Because I am one. I'm a people. And so we can have problems in those relationships. But God tells us that, and we looked at the verses, that it's very important we understand we can never separate our relationship with God from our relationship to others. Those two are so closely aligned. If you don't have a right relationship with God, you will not have the type of relationships with people on this earth that you could have. And sometimes we need a good dose of Jesus to be able to get along with people. And so that's what we're kind of talking about. But how do we do it? We're going to do it in our practically speaking, to help us to encourage people in the church. We do that through our adult Bible classes. I like Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. As Christians, we have opportunities in our life that come along that we can be a help to someone. We can be an encouragement to be somebody. We can do something good for someone. We ought to take those opportunities, but especially those who are of the household of faith. Those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember, you know, you get this in any church. You have people that come to you. And some people think that you spell the word church is spelled ATM. And they think if they need money, this is the place to come. And I don't know how many times, especially at the old church, people would come and ask for money. And remember when Pastor Esposito, and if he would be talking to them, they would give him a story. And Pastor was very kind and generous, a lot more than I was. You know, it's, if it's legitimate, I don't mind helping. If it's not legitimate, you know, I don't want to be ripped off. But I remember Pastor would say, because a lot of times, can you help? I'm a Christian. And I just need some help right now. And Pastor would say, you know, well, I'll do a little something for you, but do you have a church family? Do you go to church? Well, if you had a church family, you'd probably be able to get some help. Because that's what Christians do when you're part of a church family. And that's true. Where else do we go when we need encouragement? We can go to our regular family, but it's also nice to have a church family that'll be encouraging. Okay? And so the point is, if you need money, go see Brother Pichardo. He's rich, okay? Now, let me give you a couple of thoughts about our adult Bible classes. Church is great, but usually when people are coming to church here, it's just like, can I get a seat? I don't want to get stuck, you know, sitting here, there, or whatever. And it's the services are a little more packed and not as much fellowship space than after services. Good luck getting through the hallway alive, okay? Hold your wallet. It's really tight in there, and you know, pickpockets are everywhere. But we don't have that space. But in our adult Bible classes on Sunday morning, come a little early. We have a little bit more time. The groups are a little smaller. You can meet some people there, and you can help people, and that's what we're talking about. So let me give you some thoughts related to that, okay? Letter A. And some of these, if you've been here a while, you've heard these. Letter A. Everyone needs a smaller group within the church. Now, we love everybody. We try to know everybody, but you can only know so many people closely. And sometimes it's based on interest. Sometimes it's based on where you're at, time of life, and so forth, or how many children you have, that type of thing. Albert's in his own group there. Okay, there's nobody that can catch up to him with that area, but that type of thing. But within a bigger church, there needs to be a smaller group, a group where you can develop some good godly friendships. We cannot love each other if we don't even know each other. Okay. You know, in the church service, everybody's coming in and out. Can I get your name? We're trying to remember. And I try to remember new people's names, and sometimes it's a problem. That happens in smaller groups. By the way, have you ever heard someone say, I want to go to a smaller church? Now, that's a misnomer. Studies have shown that the average person, no matter the size of their church, knows pretty well, max about 75 people. Okay? I mean, at one time when I was in Bible college, I went to the biggest church in America. I knew about the same amount of people as pretty much everybody else there. You didn't know everybody. And we had our groups. Our bus division was really our group. But so in a Sunday school class, that has potential to happen. So now you're Thursday night crowd. You're the cream of the crop. So let me encourage you, be faithful to Sunday school. Be faithful. And use that opportunity to do some of the things we're going to talk about that we need to do in adult Sunday school. It amazes me how somebody, I'm not picking on people, but how, you know, Monday through Friday, they can get to work, they can leave their house to get to work at 7 in the morning or whatever time they got to get there, but yet 9:30 on Sunday morning is way too early, okay? Unless you're unemployed, it's not that early. And if you are unemployed and that's early to you, that's why you're unemployed. So that's a message for another day, okay? It's not that hard to get here and get here a few minutes early and talk to people. And I know some of us, that's maybe not our, some of you, some it's not your wire, but look, we go on vacation, we go to Sunday school. And we don't show up like right when it starts. That's just who we are. And even if I'm visiting a church, I'll get there early and I'll talk to people. That's kind of ingrained in me. But I enjoy, even if it's not I just enjoy being a part of what's going on. Letter B, people need friends, not just friendly people. Now I'll explain that. We'll go through it and I'll help it because we've talked much about let's be friendly, okay? But people need friends, not just friendly people. There's three things along this lines that we've said before, and I want you to get this. Ready? First little bullet. People come to church because they were what? Invited. 100% of the people you don't invite come. Okay? Now there are there is the occasional person that'll come in. It's like, how'd you hear about the church? And sometimes they'll say, you know, I've driven by your church before. I'll say, you'd never got an invitation. And sometimes I say, well, yeah, I have got an invitation at the door, but I drive down here. But some people are like, you know what? I was just looking for a church, and I kind of looked on the internet and I found you guys. That's rare though. Most of them need an invite. And that's why we are aggressive and we don't make any qualms about it, going out in our area and knocking on doors and trying to get people to church. It's what we do. But also, we have opportunities every day in our life when you meet somebody or talk somebody, when you're at the restaurant or wherever you're at, you can invite people to church, okay? Get a track, keep it in your pocket, get out there and do it. But they come because they're invited. You can do that anywhere, any place, anytime. But the second bullet, practically speaking, people come back to a church because the people are friendly. You ever go to a restaurant or something and they're rude to you? I ain't going back. I am not going back. Remember a couple years ago, it was like one of the holiday nights, and the next day is a holiday. We were going to go to Paulie's, and you know, our family, they go somewhere. It's kind of like a herd, you know. And so we get over there, and you go in there, and it's like, you know, however many of us there were that day. And you could tell the lady there didn't want us there because it was too big a group. So we, after a few minutes, I'm like, you know what? They don't want us here. Let's go eat at In-N-Out. I felt something there. In-N-Out, not McDonald's. Because remember, McDonald's is not food, okay? Might as well eat the wrapper it comes in. But I didn't feel, we left. You know, or you go somewhere and it's like they're rude to you. No one's friendly. It's like, I ain't coming back here. You did not impress me at all. I've been to other places, though, and it's like, you know what? These people, they got it. They're friendly. They'll take care of you. They'll meet. And so all things being equal, when a person comes to church, especially if they're newer or they're not saved, they don't understand proper doctrine. They don't understand all the things that they need to learn, and we'll get that to them. A lot of times what they're doing right off the bat, they're thinking, are these people friendly? You know, we've talked about many things. There's a 7-minute rule. People are deciding within the first 7 minutes they come to church whether or not they would come back. That's why it's important. 30-second commercial break. Let's leave the parking lot open, okay? You 20-something-year-old guys don't need to park in the parking lot on Sunday, and can I get an amen? Okay? Listen, I park at the Blue Line every Sunday. That's where I park. That's a really long walk. Okay, it's not that hard. You say, well, I have a family. Okay, here we go. Drop them off in front and go park, and you walk. Say, you know, Brother Myers, I don't park in the parking lot. I park on 33rd. Listen, that's good parking for somebody else. Let the older people and let the new people have that. It'd be a shame for a new person to come into the parking lot. And listen, some places you go to, you get frustrated. It's like, there's no parking here. I'm done. I'm not going to drive around in circles, okay? But let's help them out. But they're deciding. And you know what it is? A smiling face, a nice handshake, a thank you for being here, a my name is, do you know where you're going? Can I help you find your place? Friendliness. Now, when they come here, we have the right beliefs, and so we're fine. But they're usually gauging based on friendliness. I read a story. I read a book about being kind, and it lasted about 3 days. But there was a good illustration in the book. They said that a TripAdvisor in 2009 knocked France down from being a popular tourist destination. They knocked them down a lot of slots. And you know how people kind of give, they give their criticisms of places on there? What they said, the number one criticism that tourists were given there is that the people in France were not friendly. Now, the government saw that because the government, they make a big part of their economy is tourism. And so you know what they did? They started hiring people to stand in specific spots where the tourist goes and when they first come in, just to stand there and smile at tourists and say hi to them. And then they started a campaign in their country to say, listen, tourism's a big part. Let's be friendly to people. And 4 years later, they had bumped back up to the top. Now, because of terrorism and their cowardice to do something with it, it's probably going back down again. But people weren't friendly. People noticed that. Let's be friendly. Okay? So people will come. If it's friendly, they'll give us another opportunity. And then the last thing is this. People will stay in a church. Again, all things being equal, they need to be saved, and that happens. They'll stay in a church and so forth. But practically speaking, because they develop friends. We want new people to come to church here, get saved, and then not develop any friendships. Now, when a person gets saved, especially if they have friends that maybe would lead them down a wrong path, we want them to kind of get some new friends, don't we? We want them to kind of, you know, these friends are maybe not the best for you. You should try to get those friends to church so they can get saved, but you need a new group of friends. You need some godly friends. You need some good Christian friends, and then we come to church and we stay away from the new people. We're not becoming friendly with them. That's hurtful. Okay? They need good godly friends, someone that they have questions or they need prayer or a little encouragement, that there's somebody that knows them. That takes place, practically speaking, in a Sunday school class. Good godly Christian friendships are important. It's something must be proactive at, right? A man that hath friends must what? Show himself friendly. Okay? Be friendly to people. Talk to them. You meet somebody and you kind of connect with them. Years ago, we were visiting some church when we were on vacation, and I met a visitor at the church, and we just started talking. They actually had moved to wherever they were from California, and I really connected with the guy. I'm thinking, man, this guy needs to come to my Sunday school class, but he doesn't live in California anymore. But I could tell if I was in that church, we had a little bit in common. Sometimes you meet someone, a new person like that, take an interest in helping them and being friendly to them and making them feel welcome in church. That's very, very important. Sunday mornings are very important. And let me say this, and I've mentioned this, friend day's around the corner and we'll start getting on this again, but don't let people off the hook when you invite them to church. Okay? You invite someone to church, says, yeah, I think I'll come. Well, what time does it start? Well, you know, there's Sunday school, but the service is at 10:30. No. Sunday morning church consists of two things. 9:30 Sunday school, 10:30 main service. Church starts at 9:30. Okay? Get them into Sunday school, because if they come and slip into a service, now we've got to try to go back and try. And we can do that, I'm not saying, but it would be nice for them to come in and the first part of the service they get into is a little bit smaller, it's a little bit more casual. They've got to talk to a few people, and now that comfort level. You know how it is, you go somewhere, you don't know anybody, and you feel kind of out of place, but if you can get to talking to somebody, all of a sudden your guard is down, and you feel comfortable, and you're glad to be there, and that type of thing. And so let's work on that. But it's kind of hard to do that if we don't come ourselves. Amen? Amen, Brother Myers. Thank you. Next, letter C. The less connected we are to others, the less we are encouraged personally, and the less we can encourage others. The less connected we are to others, the less we are encouraged personally, and the less we can encourage others. Okay? There's so many things in my Christian life that I'm thankful for. Okay? We're going to talk about church on our next point, but the Word of God and salvation, all these things and all of that. But I'll tell you, if I can look back over the years, other than the relationship with God part, if there's anything that I'm glad that I got in my Christian life, it was that always been a part of a church family. There's something good about that. There's something good about being able to come to place and see brothers and sisters in Christ and be able to encourage others and be around others. It's not just slipping in at the last minute and, you know, singing one song and hearing the message and going out there, although that's all vitally important. It's also about the relationships and the good godly friendships we develop. That's very important. And church is a blessing. I think that's why God gave it to us. Plus, it's just encouraging. That's why some people like to go to these big churches. Don't have, they can kind of slip in and slip out, and no one notices them. There's only a couple people, I used to be able to say nobody, but there's only a couple people I know that have been in a church long term that haven't been faithful to a Sunday school class because they just don't have any friends. They're just kind of slipping in and slipping out. And you say, well, what if they're reading? They need Christian friends. That's all throughout the Bible. How are you going to do good to others? How are you going to minister to others if you don't have a group of friends and you're not a part of something? And we need to be a part of that. That's very important. Encouragement is vital. Two little bullet points under that. First, we need to receive it. We need it. We need that encouragement. Man, have you ever had a tough day? I have one every day. But if you ever had a tough day, okay, let me ask you this. Are you married? Okay, then there you go. And it's just something about, let me get to church and let me talk to some of the people and some of the things you're dealing with and some of those things off to the side. It's like, man, I feel better. Why? Because you're around people that love God, and maybe sometimes you're at work and there's always, if you work in the second, there's always that one person at work. Like you see him coming, it's like, let me hide. Or, you know, whatever it is. It's nice to come to a place. And by the way, you say, well, everything's good for me. I don't need that encouragement. Okay, the next bullet. We need to give it. We need to give it. Someone comes and it's like, how was your day? You know, years ago, it's like I was out in the back and waiting for soul winning on Tuesday night to start, and I was checking in my Sunday school class, and you know, you guys know how we check people in and everything, and one of the ladies came in. Hey, Brother Myers, I'm here. Check me in. I didn't want to be here tonight, but check me in. And I'm like, I don't want to be here either, to be honest with you. I was tired today. Really? Yep, but I came. Okay. Because people come, you're tired? Yeah, oh, I had a rough day at work. Well, what's going on? Oh, you know, something's going on. And well, hang in there, you know. A little encouragement goes a long way, doesn't it? So he said, well, I don't need it. There'll be a time you're going to need it, but there's times when you can give it. And let's make sure you say, I don't know what to say sometimes to people. Just be friendly and listen to them and, hey, okay, you know, or you're going to hear something. We need to give it. Church is an opportunity to do that. And then the letter D is this. Be faithful to your class. Be faithful to class and invite new people to be in class. Be faithful. Be faithful. You know, a new person comes, they like coming to class when they notice the same people are there every week. You know. Maybe they connected with somebody. And then they come the next week and that person's not there, and it's like, you know. By the way, God, I think God brings people our way sometimes. It's like God has brought that person my way. It just seems like I can connect with him. And like, I remember the first time that happened, I was at Gethsemane, and when I was in church my life for 1 year before I went to Bible college. And I was there, and I started working the bus ministry a little bit, and a guy came, and he had gotten saved, and he was there, and kind of had the kind of background I had, and God, we kind of connected together. And I was kind of able, because I had been there 6 months longer to him, to kind of encourage him along and get him involved and start taking him on the bus route and things like that. When I went off to Bible college, he stuck with it. Came home that summer, he's still doing those things. But God kind of, here's a guy that kind of like my situation, brand new in the church, didn't have a friend, and I was able to kind of connect with him and encourage him a little bit. You know, God will bring people your way like that. And you can be a help to them. Number four. So first, we go to our adult Sunday school classes. Next, in under loving others, we call it membership, but I call it connection to church. It's membership, the same thing. Becoming a part of the church. Becoming a part of the church. Say, why isn't that first before the adult Bible class? Because a lot of times when people are coming and they're checking out the church, if they don't get involved in a class, they're really not going to take another step because they're going to feel like they don't know anybody. And we've had people. I remember we had this couple that was come one time. We were trying to help them, and the lady made a comment to my wife about something, and she's like, you know, I just really didn't feel, I don't feel like I know anybody there. My wife very kindly and wisely said, it's because you've never come to Sunday school. We've invited you. You've never come. It's kind of hard to meet people in the service. If you'd come to Sunday school, you'd meet some people. And sometimes new people come and say, unless you're going to try our church out, you need to come for at least a month and come to Sunday school class so you kind of get to know what the church is about and meet some people. So that starts first, and then they need to get to a place where they connect to the church. Church is vitally important. Look at Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. I know these are your standard church verses, coming to church verses, but they are very important. And let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works. Now, we'll stop right there. It's not just talking about us. Let us consider one another. Put others ahead of ourselves. Yeah. to provoke them, to kind of, in a kind way, push them towards love and to do good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Isn't that the trend now? It's kind of going away, but this church guru guy a couple years ago put he's always been a church growth guy and all this stuff. And a couple years ago, he put this book out. Well, the new trend is people don't want to go to church. They love Jesus. They don't love the church. Home church. That's ridiculous. That's not scriptural. Okay? That's forsakening the assembling of ourselves together. As the manner of some is. Well, I love Jesus. It's just me and Jesus. Okay, it may be you and Jesus, but one of you is probably missing. It's not you, it's Jesus. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. There it is, encouraging. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Things are not getting better. Worse. It's ridiculous. I don't even listen to the news anymore because it's just, I stopped a long time because it's just discouraging. I get these emails, and it's from Christian groups, and they're telling you all the nonsense that's going on. Listen, I want to jump out my window. The only reason that I don't is because it's only 3 feet, and I just skinned my knee, okay? It's ridiculous. It's just no good. I need encouragement. Okay, I don't need to know how many different bathrooms they're going to want us to have in the church now. 16 different. There's only two. A Christian without a church is unscriptural. Church was God's idea. Matthew 6:18. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. By the way, Jesus loves the church. So should we. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. See, he had something more in mind for us once we got saved. Wasn't just being saved and going to heaven. He wanted us to serve him, and he had a church family for us. And that's a blessing. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives. So that's easy. Okay, here we go. Even as Christ also loved the church. It's not so easy now, is it? And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without. If you're married, how much do you love your spouse? That's probably a bad illustration. You really, really deeply love your spouse. Jesus loves the church more than that. Jesus loved the church. So we should be in on that whole thing. Church is a big thing to Jesus, and it should be to his people. Hebrews tells us not to forsake. You know what the word forsake means? To abandon or desert. That doesn't sound good. You ever hear of deadbeat dads? A guy that has a child. By the way, having a child doesn't make you a father. Okay, that's a biological thing. Being a father is what you do with your children. But these fathers, and they have the children, they just leave them with the mom and take off, and sometimes they send money, sometimes they don't. Deadbeat, they abandon, they're just abandoning the needs of their child. Well, we're not supposed to abandon or forsake or desert the church. That ought to be important to us. You say, well, wait a minute, though, but church isn't perfect. I need to find a perfect church. Tell you what, you look. When you find one, let me know and I'll go with you. Okay? There is no perfect church. But you know what? We can work together. So we have issues. We can work those out. Okay? That goes back to the whole people thing. Church is important. A Christian abandoning church is not just missing a service. It's not just missing church service. He's missing the people of God and called who God has called them to assemble with. You are important to the church. Now, what should we do when it comes to church? Well, the biggest thing is this. We need to join. See, people don't like to join. It's almost like people don't want to get married anymore. They're afraid of it. Why? Because they've heard bad things about it. They know people that have had bad experiences. And so because of those bad experiences, sometimes they're like, I don't want to get burned. I'll come, but I'm not going to join. Because joining is a commitment. See, when I love my wife, not that I stopped. When I first started loving her, I wanted to be with her forever. And so I wanted that relationship to be permanent. So you know what I did? I asked for a commitment. Will you marry me? There's only two answers, yes or no. Now, of course, in my case, the only common sense answer would be yes. Okay? I wanted commitment. I didn't want, I'm kind of wishing. No, I want commitment. I want this to be a relationship. I want you to be in on what we're doing. We're going to have a family, and I want you to be 100% behind it. We're all in together. Nothing held back. That we don't want to join a church because we don't want to make a commitment to it. And when we join a church, we are making a commitment. I like what it says in Acts chapter 2. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, verse 40 and 41, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Here we go. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. We talked about that already. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Added unto who? The early believers, the early church. They became a part of them. They were now a part of that group. Well, I'm a part of the universal church. Listen, you're going to be a part of the universal church when the universal church is all together in heaven. Okay? Church is a local called out assembly of believers in a specific location. This is Pacific Baptist Church. I encourage you, if you're coming here and you haven't joined, you need to become a member. If this is going to be your church, we need to make that commitment. Commitments are very important. But the fact of the matter is the average person doesn't want to join the church because they don't want to have to be responsible for it. Well, how do the needs of the church met? Through the tithes of his people to the church. How is the ministry in the church done? Through the people of the church. Okay? How does the gospel get out from here? The people of the church collectively go out and do it, and we support missionaries and others and send others out to go do it. It's through our church. We need to make a commitment to the church. God wants us to be a part of this. And God doesn't want us to have the kind of commitment if most of us who are members treated our families and our spouses the way we have our relationship with our church, our families would disintegrate and our marriage would fall apart. You know, I'll see you once a week. Actually, in some cases, you might do better that way. I'll see you once a week. You know, no, complete commitment. Find where God wants you. And I mean this sincerely as a $3 bill. No, I mean this sincerely. If you are in our church and you're like, I am just totally convinced this is not my church, I cannot commit to it, I would encourage you to go find a church you could, because it's that important for us to be a part of a church. That important. You have put a seat, we put a ceiling on our Christian life. That's why, I'm preaching a little bit to the choir here, but when we have these new people coming in, we want to love them, encourage them, and help them so that they'll choose this to be their church. So we can help them to grow in their faith and go forward and become all that God wants them to be. And a church is a vital part of it. So, well, you know, there's hypocrites. You go door knocking. Hey, well, I'm not going to go to church. I went to a church one time. There's hypocrites in the church. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever worked with a hypocrite? So you're never going to work again? Don't judge Jesus or even a church by a couple people. And don't expect us to be perfect until you're perfect. Then you can judge us. Well, we work together. I think we have a good church, but we need to help people. And we better stop there for tonight. Let's pray.